If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Levi's, Plow & Hearth, Adidas, Sephora, and Neiman Marcus. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. And it's easy to use. And you get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's R-A-K-U-T-E-N. Rakuten.com.
This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm in Londinium. I'm Gaius. Germanicus is on the road. He's in what will be the Dalmatian coast, Dalmatia, the transition from the Western Roman Empire to the Eastern Roman Empire after the 6th and 7th century. In the 21st century, however, remarks suggest once more that the American Empire is struggling with common sense. Why? I can't give a motive to any particular person other than the fact that they take their positions and throw food at each other. All right, that's the nature of domestic politics. Ordinarily, Germanicus and I leave it out of our conversation because domestic politics in Rome could get a man exiled, or worse. But domestic politics in America puts you on television, or in a video package, or on a front page of a New York Times or Washington Post headline. All right. Right now, I listen to an esteemed op-ed writer named David Brooks. He is a man who appeals for reason whenever he speaks, and he speaks very well. David Brooks has identified the contest now between the credentialed elite and the rest of us, especially the rest of us who didn't go to college or had very little of the higher education, went right to work. And David Brooks's analysis is the contest that's underway in America in the 21st century is between the credentialed who regard their conduct as destiny. They were raised to be in charge. And those who are not in charge and resent credentialism as having failed. And therefore, as Brooks puts it, they, many, many people, not MAGA, many, many people who voted for Trump might find this or that part of his personality objectionable. But what they don't object to is when he says, I'm going to challenge the elite, or the elite are not worthy of your affection or obedience or loyalty. Everybody nods their head. Yeah, look at the results. Now, I'm staying broad here. I'm staying away from issues. Themes, because that's used to, as wedges to get under your skin so you'll start firing up. What's your position? I'm staying back generally. Germanicus, I present it that way because David Brooks presented it that way. Credentialism is resented and it has failed and is not acknowledging the failure. Non-credentialism, those of us, you and I, Germanicus, were trained to be credentialed and we didn't use it. There are apparently a lot of us. And so you look around and you go, what's that crowd? I wouldn't join it, but who are they? And Brooks is acknowledging that it's real, that it's genuine, and that the complaint has worth. Do you measure that the credentialed are listening to us at long last after two elections of a man who is, after all, mostly orange?
Mr. Brooks is... He's paid to provide misdirection, and he chose a word that is the ultimate instrument of misdirection when it comes to the essential conflict or struggle within American society today. It has nothing to do with credentials. It's all about a ruling elite that has been in control and in charge since the time of the New Deal, but but increasingly so as a result of the Cold War, which reified and entrenched their power. And as a ruling elite, much like the Roman optimates in the later times of the Republic, feel threatened when there is a movement among the people represented by a leader that threatens their hold on power. And that is essentially where we are today. And we've talked about this, but it is not simply a looming issue. It's the current issue. And the fact that Mr. Brooks, who's a member of this ruling elite, seeks to distract us so that we think it's about credentialism. It is not. The ruling elite has entrenched themselves in power simply because they have developed a foolproof way of getting richer and more powerful generation by generation. And this has been shown to be true of all ruling elites. They're able to pass on their wealth. Their wealth gets greater and greater with each passing generation. And the regular people get more and more miserable. And eventually there is a reckoning. There is a coming. Things have to be sorted out. This cannot continue forever. And one of the elements of misdirection is that the elite has appropriated an emergent new ideology that goes head-to-head with the old American religion, you know, the American religion that the founders created, that bound us together, that was and has remained a unifying force until recently. And this ideology they've appropriated to use as a cudgel to beat down the people. And it's been actually highly successful. And it's been called many things. I call it the Church of Woke, but this ideology being appropriate. It's a populist ideology, but it isn't populist. It's entirely elitist. And frankly, it's a bit like what happened in late antiquity, where the Roman aristocracy appropriated what had been a very populist new wave vision called Christianity, and they appropriated it and made it the ideology of the ruling class. And that led to what we saw in medieval Europe. And the fact is that this conflict is coming to a head. The inequalities of wealth and income cannot continue forever. And the policies of the elite to bring in large, massive numbers of migrants to counterbalance or depreciate the voice of the people has only exacerbated the conflict to the point where that has become the vehicle, frankly, where the populist leader has been able to triumph. It is something so similar in its general broader contours and in the context of the dynamic itself of what happens when change pressures an elite that is happily entrenched and doesn't want to give up anything of its power and authority. And things come to a head, and they're coming to a head right now in the United States, and there's nothing that can stop it. And to try and portray Mr. Trump as the head of the snake that must be cut off is a misrepresentation of actual reality. This is a much bigger issue. And that's why David Brooks is simply trying to paper over what is actually happening, and there's no escaping it. And it is, I don't know, it's very close to coming to a head, because you can't have a power struggle that is not resolved. And we are now at a point where we're stumbling from election to election. And every election becomes an existential choice between the people and the ruling class. And it is a situation that has no resolution except for a revolution. And the revolution can go one of two ways. It can go toward a restoration, which is what Mr. Trump, in his own inchoate way, has represented to the people, or it can go toward a revolution in which the elites are able to completely cement their control over the people, which is something that almost happened in the French Revolution. It certainly happened in the Russian Revolution, and it's an unresolved question as of yet, but it will have to be resolved within the next 4 to 8 years.
My measure is that if it comes to that, the two choices, the elite win.
Well, they might. The populist movement is dependent on the leader. And if the leader is, say, Julius Caesar, followed by Augustus, then the people win, in a sense. But overall, ultimately, yes, the elites win.
That's the record. I'm sure we can find except that's the record. I'm sure we could find exception. I go, is there a third possibility that we extend it till we're exhausted?
Yeah, well, that's also true, in the sense that the engagement of America and the world is a double-edged sword. We talk about how America has to be the world leader, how we have to stay engaged with the world, which is really the battle cry of American imperialism or American dominance.
Right.
But the flip side of that is that engagement truly weakens us, so that the engagement sets up conflicts and uncertainties in the world that come back to our own society and create turmoil. In the sense that failure to be effective abroad can lead to earth-shattering consequences at home. And what I'm trying to say here is simply that the elite, which has benefited so much from American engagement in terms of giant arms contracts and the whole tissue of an elite superstructure of world power, if that were to come apart, that would potentially lead to a collapse of the elite. So, you know, we talked earlier about the uncertainties of escalation, say, over Ukraine or in the Middle East. Those situations going south in a big way could come back to overthrow the elites. So the elites, I guess, ultimately are exposed. They're in a position where they're overextended, and that makes their control domestically all the weaker because their capacity to exert authority in the world is brittle.
Germanicus is in Dalmatia, Ragusa, at the edge of the empire. I'm in Londinium and very comfortable. We're going to turn to an observation of these last days, available for everyone on YouTube. The emperor, Donald Trump, sitting next to one of his kings, Charles III, surrounded by gold and silver plateware. That's empire when we come back. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.